Hey everybody, it's Michael here, and you're listening to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. Welcome back to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. My name is Michael. It's Saturday, December 1st, 2012. We have a lot going on here in Good E-Reader land, as it were. We have, or are sending, one Mercy Pilkington, where if you read our daily publication, you know that she covers a lot of the digital publishing aspects here, and we're sending her to London, England for future books. So we're going to be able to get hands-on with source books, new technology that puts your kid in the book, pictures, text, everything else. We'll show you exactly what this platform brings to the table. We also are going to be speaking with Lonely Planet, Kobo, Bilberry, Barnes & Noble, Ingram, Readmill, Pottermore, and a ton of others. So if any of that tickles your fancy, you're going to want to keep your web browsers locked to our webpage at goodyreader.com/blog. And starting about Sunday, a North American schedule time, we will be starting to post some articles. And come Monday, we're going to be posting a literal mailstorm We're very excited. So you're going to see video pictures and everything else covering the entire conference. As we know it, we're actually one of the few North American publications that will actually be there for this one-day event. So we're pretty excited about that. If you have a BlackBerry Playbook or Android tablet or anything like that, you would probably be familiar with our own Goody Reader App Store. Currently, right now, I think we have about 6,500 apps, and we have changed a bit about the website. So if you're a regular visitor, you'll probably notice that we have put two navigational icons, both in the top left and top right-hand corner. And this is corresponding with our Playbook and Android library. So this should make navigating around the website and trying to find the genres that you're most interested in easy as pie. So before, you sort of had to scroll down all the way to the bottom of the page, or you had to click on a few of the navigational bar entries. And because of limited space, we weren't able to put all the categories for all of our apps in there. So with this new way of going about it, it should make things a lot easier. Let us know how you think about it. We invested a few hours of our time to make discoverability of apps a little bit more intuitive. It is contest time at Goody Reader. We are giving away one Amazon Kindle Paperwhite. This is one of the hardest to get e-readers in the world right now, and we have one in our possessions, and we are giving it away to a lucky reader. The draw date, I believe, is December the 7th. On the front page of our blog, we do have a picture of a number of tablets, and we've made this hard. We have 2, 4, 6, 8 different devices, a combination of e-readers, media devices, and tablets. All you simply have to do is tell us what is in this picture. You may enter only once, and the winner that is able to determine all of the gadgets in the photo will win an Amazon Kindle Paperwhite. I think we've had about 14 or 15 entries so far, and about 90% of them are wrong. So for those of you that are thinking one device is another, you're in for a shell shock. These are not the easiest contest we've ever run, but hey, we want to make things as challenging and as fun as possible. Last month, I believe we gave away a Kobo Mini, and instead of trying to guess the tablets, you had to guess the e-readers. So we always like to keep things footloose and fancy-free. Let's catch up, if we may, on some of the news of the week. We have had the B-Book Touch. Now, we've had this for about a week, and we finally did our full hands-on review. I kind of like it. It's touchscreen. It's Wi-Fi. One of the cool things about it is that there's a bookstore icon on the main screen. And what you can actually do is choose what bookstore you want to do business with. So via the settings menu, you can configure Kobo, Barnes & Noble, Smashwords. So whenever you click on the bookstore tab, you'll automatically be brought to the bookstore of your choice. This is very cool. Now, this is an Android-driven e-reader. So this is true e-ink, like you would see in the Kindle, Paperwhite, Barnes & Noble Nook, Simple Touch, Kobo Glow, Kobo Touch, and Sony e-reader. So you're not getting a huge, this is pretty standard fare. What's cool about it is that it is running Android, and, you know, Sony e-readers do run Android. Nook Simple Touch line of e-readers also run Android. This has the distinction of actually being able to install Android apps right out of the box. It's a bit of a difficult process, but once you do it, you can install and load apps, which are cool. I think a few firmware updates just to refine the process to make it a little bit more user-friendly is something the company really needs to do. I think, being able to install the Kindle app, Kobo app, or whatever app store you want right out of the box is good. It's a dedicated e-reader. You surely don't want to watch Netflix or Angry Birds, although we have tested it, and Angry Birds does work, but this doesn't have any audio output, so playing games and things like that, there's really no reason why you'd want to do it. But you could install, say, like a press reader or newspaper apps and a lot of content comic book apps like Marvel Comics and actually read them on your e-reader. I think that this is very, very cool. Texter, which is a friend of Good E-Reader, they have launched their Danish e-book store. And so they are doing business with two major publishers and giving anywhere between a 20% and 50% discount on a number of titles that are available in the store. We put out a press release earlier on in the week, I think it was about Monday or so, announcing our new relationship with Skytex Technologies. They have bundled the Goody Reader App Store, which I kind of mentioned about on top of the show, on their three new Imagine tablets, and Skytex officially put the press releases out announcing the Skytex 7, and I believe there's an 8. Maybe a 10 as well. So they're releasing three new tablets, but they announced the 7. It's all Jelly Bean Android, the latest and greatest, fairly economically friendly. And hey, I mean, there's the Goody Reader App Store bundled right on there, so we're pretty excited about that. If you're a fan of ebooks, and I mean, who isn't? And if you're listening to this show, you should probably have a vested interest in all forms of digital books. And there's a few new cool things available via Google. They have unleashed a new pre-order system. And this is for Google Play Books. Now, not a lot of people do business with Google, but if you do have like a pure Android tablet and you have access to Google Play, you know, why not do business with Google Books? They have only roughly about 14 or 15 pre-orders right now, but you have things like Douglas Preston, Lincoln Child, The Two Graves, Thread Vector by Tom Clancy, and some books by Shara Shepherd. So if you are heavily involved in Google and all things like that, you may be fairly willing to give this a try. In the past, you can only buy books. You couldn't really, pre-order them. So it's a step in the right direction. Seeing as though we're speaking about ebooks, let's talk a little bit about ebook technology. Vuk is offering a little bit more synergy between readers and authors via a proprietary platform called Widget. Now, Widget is It's a way that authors and readers can engage themselves right in a book. So you can think of it as like a message board / polls and a lot of discussions, you know, within the book. There was really only one book so far that's used it, but it was actually on the bestseller list. It was called 11 Days in May, and it was it had 32 embedded Widget discussions, and it opens the door not only for the people that own the book, but people that want to just participate via Facebook and Twitter or various ways that the author wants people to socially interact with them. So this will be a part of the Vukmaster development platform. So if you publish with Vuk, or if you're interested in embedding this type of technology, you know, inside of your book, I think it's pretty cool. It's promoting a little bit more social interaction, and Kobo has kind of done a little bit about this in the past. You guys, if you've ever used Kobo before, may be familiar with Kobo Pulse. It's basically a way that when you're reading a book, you can click on a little pulse icon and see how many people have read the book, are in the process of reading, have liked it, and you can actually read comments. And they've actually had a number of authors participate in live chat sessions. So everyone who owns the book could actually, you know, talk with the author and exchange messages in real time. I think that that has a ton of potential, but it doesn't really look like Kobo's really wanted to go forward for that. You know, they ran this, I think, about four to five months ago, and nothing since then. And so this might be kind of the next best thing, although it might be pretty costly. You're looking at anywhere between $99 and $299 to embed this functionality within your book. On the front page of our blog, we actually have a video that sort of shows everything from Facebook to Twitter to live book commenting. A fairly cool little platform. Now we have a little bit of Amazon news. They've been announcing a lot of things during this last week. First of all, Amazon Publishing is going to be reaching into Europe. This is sort of the tangible book arm of Amazon. They've signed up a number of publishers, and they're actually in the United States doing a fair number of, you know, books being sold. And so you're going to have Tim Ferriss's The 4-Hour Chef. It's sold almost about 60,000 copies in its first week in a printed form. And so things like this, as well as Kurt Vonnegut's Sucker's Portfolio, a number of titles will be making their ways into Europe, and Larry Kirschbaum, former agent now spearheading Amazon Publishing for the East Coast division, is now going to be taking over both the West and East Coast publishing division in the States. So it'll be interesting to see if this will gain any traction in Europe. I guess we'll have to sort of adopt that wait and see approach. If you are an independent publisher that does things via Amazon, you may be familiar with KDP Select. It's really a way that you can kind of opt in to be able to give your book away for free as part of the Amazon Prime initiative. If you're not familiar with Prime, basically it's just a way that people could pay a monthly or basically a yearly fee. I think it's about $75. You can get free 2-day shipping. You can borrow a free ebook a month. You can watch a free movie a month. And if you borrow an author's book for free, the author actually gets paid. Month to month, there's about a $700,000 cash pool. And this is distributed evenly amongst the authors whose books are read by various people. And Amazon is increasing this amount to $1.5 million in December because they know obviously people are going to be buying e-readers and tablets. People are going to be investing in Prime. And this is a money type season for authors who not only will see traditional book sales, but may see a number of their titles be borrowed for free with this increased pot, if you will. It'll make sure that authors will be rewarded adequately for people borrowing their book. Finally, the last bit of Amazon news has to do with their Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals. They issued a press release saying that they have had the most success in a few-day period than they've ever had before. I believe four of their current models were of the Amazon Kindle Fire, the Paperwhite, and various other models of the Kindle took all four top spots site-wide in Amazon. So if you figure they were running a lot of really big deals on everything from, like, you know, baseball cards to, you know, this and that, but, you know, the Kindle basically dominated everything. They didn't actually say how many they sold, but they said that, you know, site-wide with the deals that they offered, it was the best thing possible. Let me rant, if I may. I know many of you are not averse to my ranting and raving on the state of affairs of digital publishing. I want to talk about Archway Publishing. If you are in the publishing world, this may have already sent a shiver down your spine. This is a partnership, and a very loose one, if you will, between Simon & Schuster and Author Solutions. They're basically rolling out a new platform that will allow authors to self-publish. They'll be able to take advantage of promotion, ebook cover art, ebook trailers, and a number of things, both for traditional books and ebooks. This is fairly expensive. You're looking at about $2,000 all the way to $25,000 to be able to do this. Simon & Schuster is just providing, quote, guidance for Author Solutions. So you're not basically getting published by Simon & Schuster, although this is what Archway would lead you to believe. They basically said that, you know, if you end up selling hundreds of thousands of copies, you may get on Simon & Schuster's radar, but this would happen whether you're self-published through Archway Publishing or whether you were just self-publishing on Amazon. I think that this is a ripoff. I wouldn't wish my worst enemy to take advantage of Author Solutions and our Archway Publishing initiative. It's vanity publishing at its complete worst, and they're basically looking for suckers to take for a wild and adventurous ride. Not only do you have to pay anywhere between $2,000 and $25,000, but you actually have to give up 50% royalties on each book if you're selling them digitally through, like, Amazon and other companies like that, or if they're being tangibly sold through Ingram, who's basically distributing the book to over 25,000 bookstores. Now, Ingram's distributing it, but this doesn't mean that the bookstores will necessarily buy the book. And just because you're paying $25,000 does not mean that you're getting preferential treatment for the whole entire distribution pipeline. I would not recommend that anybody take part in Author Solutions and Archway Publishing. I hope that this is doomed to fail, and that's about it, folks. Seeing as though we're on a subject of digital publishing, there's a number of new imprints that were actually announced this week. We have HarperCollins, who's launched their Hyperteen Impulse imprint. You know, basically this is like first titles launch on December 4th. You're looking at a number of titles, you know, by Sophia Jordan, Scott Westerfield, Cynthia Hand, Kira Cass, Dean Myers, and a number of other authors. This is basically geared at young adults / like early teens. Books are going to cost anywhere between 99 cents and $2.99. Most of the books will be available to be purchased through Epic Reads, which was basically a website that HarperCollins had developed earlier on in the year. The entire adult and young fiction industry has been one of the fastest growing segments of 2012, and the market right now is worth close to $2.8 billion. So that's a fair chunk of change. We've also saw some new imprints launched by Random House. They've launched Alibi, Hydra, and Flirt. And these are basically, again, more geared towards teens, young adults. Obviously, Alibi is mystery. Hydra is all about science fiction and fantasy. Finally, love-struck teens might like Random House Flirt, which is sort of very light romance. And they're basically throwing a bunch of dedicated editorial marketing and publicity teams to be able to support authors for this. So a number of kind of new imprints starting this week, and obviously, a lot of these books are going to be able to be hitting the shelves as well as your digital shelves in time for the holiday season. Okay, let's talk quickly about tablet PCs. LG is launching a new KidsPad tablet. It's roughly about $276. LG's previous attempts at tablet segment has been nothing short of complete disaster. Hopefully they're trying to aim at a very niche market. We'll see if it's back in action. The Nexus 7 3G is available again in the Google Play Store. We're also looking at a new firmware update for all the Nexus devices, bringing it up to Android 4.2.1. Asus is rumored to be developing a budget 7-inch Android tablet running Android 4.2. Price, about 2,000 Rand or about $226. eFun is also launching a budget tablet this December. For your tablet that's running Google Chrome, Goody Reader has just released a Google Chrome app, and this will allow you to read our publication while on the go on iOS, on Android, and various other mobile operating systems that actually have an official Chrome app. A Microsoft Surface Pro pricing has been revealed. Microsoft Pro is basically a way that you could actually run all of your Windows legacy apps on a Microsoft Surface tablet. The first tablet, which was the RT, which we actually reviewed the day it came out, and you can check our YouTube channel at youtube.com/goodyreader for all the skinny on that. But basically, the RT just ran the new sort of Windows 8 apps. You couldn't actually run on any of your old apps like Adobe Photoshop, Dreamweaver, any of like your games like Diablo and things like that. But on the Surface Pro, you can. You're looking at a 64 gig version for $899. And a 128 gig version for $999. Both versions will reach stores in January of 2013, and will actually come with a stylus called the new Surface Pen, and it's based on Palm Block technology. Microsoft has also cut the Surface RT orders by half. They were looking to sell about 4 million of them, but they've scaled back their ordering from supply chain manufacturers, people that assemble the components, to about 2 million units. So cut by half. Lenovo is making a new tablet. It just passed the FCC. And Yeah, I mean, a number of new devices, you're going to hear about tons of them, you know, reaching the market because obviously it's the holiday season time. Everyone's just trying to rush things off, you know, for the market. And, you know, various tablets have received updates. You look at the Samsung Galaxy Tab 2, got a Jelly Bean update. The Samsung Galaxy Tab 8.9 saw an ICS update. And for all of the tablet really news, you can check out basically the tablet section on our website. We've kind of scaled back a bit on the tablet news because there's just so much out and so many other publications do such a better job than us that we sort of focus on ebooks, e-readers, digital publishing pretty well exclusively now. And we do a top tablet news item of the day pretty well on a daily basis just to give you bite-sized chunks on, you know, the state of affairs, you know, on the entire tablet industry. We've reviewed, speaking of tablets, the new Chill Tab tablet holder. This is the Chill Tab 2 and the Chill Tab 4. They're basically designed to work on extremely flat surfaces, and it holds your tablet in such a way, and the various models hold it on different angles where you could use it as a digital photo frame, you could watch videos, you could read books, and so on. We found that these are pretty solid, you know, roughly they're about $20 to $30 each, so valued investments if, you know, on your, if you have a big computer desk and you're staring at a monitor and you want your little tablet there playing a movie propped up, you don't want to be holding it, and certainly with the iPad 3 and 4, they get hot pretty fast, you know, and you don't want to be, like, holding it for any length of time, so this is perfect, you know, for the iPad to be able to, you know, have like your Pulse app open or to have like your Twitter open on your desk while you're, you know, again, doing stuff on your monitor. So we rated it pretty high. We kind of like it. It does have some drawbacks if you're tablet is resting on it and you're actually interacting with it, you know, on a regular basis, like playing a game or something on it. I could see the back of your device getting scratched. But if you're just putting it in place, you know, tapping a few things here and there, gesturing a few things here and there, you're going to be good to go. But if you're using it as like a holder to basically interact with it full time, I'd probably maybe look at other things on the marketplace right now. Paul Biba and Bridget Alverson have actually wrote quite a number of articles this week, basically on digital comics is what Bridget's specialty is, and she's had a number of interviews with, say, Ninjasaur and a few other companies like that. So if you're all into digital comics and a lot of the platforms that they run, you may be big into that. She also did a thing with Viz Media, which Viz is pretty well one of the longest standing companies devoted to anime and manga, and she's done a fabulous interview with some of the founders there, and it's building a community around digital manga and how what these companies do in order to foster it, as well as an introspective on the British comic scene and how that's really developed all the way from the 1960s to present date. So I'm going to serenade you out with a song right now. It's been swell, folks. And again, we're really excited about being there at Future Book in London. It's I think the first time Mercy's ever been to London for a Goody Reader. So we hope that she'll do a good job. You could follow her on Twitter at Lorca Damon. And you could just find her. You could look at our staff page to find the exact Twitter. But she'll be tweeting all throughout the conference. But you'll make sure that you want to step by our website to check it out. And of course, if you're looking for e-readers, tablets, or e-books for the holiday season, we've written a number of great gift-giving guides lately, so you might want to check that out. Stay tuned for an updated Goody Reader official Android news app. We recognize that the old one really sucks, but we should fix that soon. So for Goody Reader, my name is Michael, and everybody take care.